Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, pancreas cancer is the third leading cause of cancer in the U.S., and it's one of the most lethal. We're going to be talking about it today with two people. Tommy Thompson, he's the current UW System Interim President, former U.S. Secretary for Health and Human Services, and you likely know him perhaps best as former governor of Wisconsin. Governor Tommy Thompson, welcome. Thank you for being with us today.
Well, Larry Mueller, thank you so very much for having me on your program. But even more importantly, thank you for talking about pancreatic cancer. It is an insidious disease, and it is so hard to come to grips with anybody that has it because it is so terrible. And and I just am so happy that you're willing to talk about it. So let me thank you, Larry.
Well, thank you for coming and being with us. With us also, I'm really pleased to have Dr. Sam Leubner. He's an oncologist and faculty member in the Division of Hematology, Medical Oncology, and Palliative Care. Dr. Sam Leubner, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Really appreciate you having me, Larry. Thanks.
I want to mention three names before we get started. Randy Teed, one name, Keith Swalheim, and Susan Nitzke. And I mention them because they're all friends of mine who I lost, and we all lost, to pancreas cancer. And as you listen to our guest today, has your family been affected by pancreas cancer? What questions you have about it? I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234 or email at ideas@wpr.org. Governor Thompson, you know, finding a cure for pancreas cancer, that's very important to you. And maybe you can talk about why that's the case.
Well, pancreas cancer has adversely impacted my family and me personally so much. My two younger brothers, Eddie and Artie, have both died from pancreatic cancer. And it is such a hard disease and so misunderstood and so deadly that it just needs more information, more research. And then my farming partner, Urban Schultz, who farmed with me in Elroy for many years, he also died of pancreas cancer. So I've got stories to tell you about each of those individuals. But my brother, Eddie, when he was dying, he grabbed me and he says, "Tommy, you've got to do something about this." He grabbed me. He had big hands, and he grabbed me and he says, "I know nothing you can do now is going to save me, but for all the people out there that are going to come after me that suffer this insidious disease, you've got to do something about it." So I've always taken that to heart, and I've done my I continue to do my part. I've bicycled across the state for pancreatic cancer. I've walked in pancreatic cancer walks. I've given speeches about it, and I'm also on one of the boards that I served, the Centene board. I went to the board and was able to encourage the company to give $5 million to the Carbone Center and to the University of Wisconsin healthcare system to do research and to find a test on pancreatic cancer, because the biggest problem we have, Larry, and something that is just so difficult to understand, we haven't been able to find it. They don't have any real test to determine if you have pancreatic cancer. They have to, it's got to be an invasive. They have to go in and look at your pancreas to see if you have any growth or anything in there that resembles cancer. And usually by the time that you have any signs in your body that you got something wrong with you, by the time they go in and look at the pancreas to see if you do have pancreatic cancer, more than likely it is metastasized. And if it's metastasized, the surgeons cannot operate. And so a vast majority of pancreatic patients go through that ritual, and they come up with a conclusion that, why didn't you find this sooner? Well, there's really no test for it. So I've asked Centene to give some money, And we're trying to develop a test for it, the Carbone Center, Mayo Center, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Healthcare System, are all working on this, as well as many other researchers across the country. So hopefully we can find that test to determine pancreatic cancer. So that's my stories. I can give you a lot more details, but I want to listen to Sam, and I want to listen to you, Larry Mueller. But thanks again for having me.
Dr. Sam, it is so difficult to treat, as you know, for some of the reasons Governor Thompson was talking about.
It is, and I want to say I remember that Eddie had big hands, Governor. I had a chance to meet him over during his treatment, and I want to express my gratitude for your help and share in your sorrow at his loss. And I think the lack of a screening test is a real big part of the story. By the time patients show up, even with any kind of early symptoms, many times, even if it's localized, we can't operate, certainly not right away. And even in the chances where we can operate, the risk of recurrence is extraordinarily high. It takes a really big surgery to take out the most common site of pancreatic cancer in the head of the pancreas, because it's so intimately associated with your stomach and small intestine and bile ducts. And all of those things have to be surgically intervened upon to have a successful cancer surgery. And as Governor Thompson mentioned, a lot of the time, by the time we find it, the cancer has had a propensity to spread, which is why recurrence rates are so high, even with modern chemotherapy.
Yeah. Governor Thompson, I know raising awareness and money for research, you've talked about this a little bit. It's important to fight this disease, and I know you're involved in an upcoming virtual awareness program on Thursday. Can you tell us about it?
Well, I am so happy that so many people from the Carbone Center are still trying to increase the awareness. It's a cancer that it's so deadly, and people don't want to know about it because it's just bad. There's bad news about it. There's no test to find it. When you do find it, it's usually a death sentence, and so it's really bad. But they're putting on this virtual cancer program in which you're going to have four researchers, which I really love that idea, because you have four researchers like the good Dr. Sam Lubner, to be able to get up and talk about it, answer questions, get more information out there, because you know a lot of cancer, a lot of things about breast cancer, colon cancer, throat cancer, esophageal cancer. But pancreas cancer is that unknown, that deadly one that nobody really, because it's so deadly, nobody really wants to touch it. So this is a forum put on by the Pancreas Society, and Sophia Katrina Refatoff, who works for the Carbone Center, whose husband, her husband was a doctor, and she lost him to pancreatic cancer. And so she has been dedicated to doing this, and they put on this once a year to raise money. And this year, because of this other insidious pandemic
COVID.
COVID-19, we can't have it, so we got to have a virtual. And they brought in these four wonderful researchers: Dr. Zachary Morris, the human oncology; Dr. Jacques Gallipo, hematology and oncology; Dr. Jeremy Kratz; and Dr. Matt Reese. And Jeremy, I know he works with Dr. Albertini, who's a very close friend of mine, who has treated my two brothers, and Dr. Mike Reese from the Medical College of Wisconsin, who also is doing a great job. So we're going to put on this program to educate people that will listen in, and at the same time raise money for more research. We've got to get money for research. We've got to get more people involved. We've got to get more questions answered. And that's what this program is all about, and that's what this event is about on November 20th. But I really appreciate you, Larry, for bringing it up and talking about it, because we don't want to talk about pancreatic cancer as much as we need to. It's the third leading death in cancer in America today. And it used to be number 7, and it's slowly creeped up to number 3, and it keeps increasing. And you just mentioned 3 people, Larry. I've got several that I know about, and everybody gets involved in it has had a loss, or just about everybody. And we need to get more education out there, more research dollars, and more researchers to do research on it. And I couldn't be happier to be a participant every year that they put it on.
Well, it's great. And we have a link on my page at the Larry Mehler Show page, a link to the Zoom meeting. It's in our program notes, and it's coming up on Thursday. And so looking forward to that. I know you, speaking of COVID-19, I know you have to go to a meeting, Governor Thompson, that to deal with that. And so I want to take the time to thank you so much for being with us today. Dr. Lubner is going to stay with us, and we'll spend the next half hour zeroing in on some answers to some of those questions, and certainly invite our listeners to join in. Governor Thompson, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
No, let me just say, in conclusion, you know, Larry, you're the hero here. I'm just a voice in the wilderness, trying to get more people educated about pancreatic cancer. But you've got the megaphone. You're putting on a program and having the great Sam Lubner talk about it. It's just, that's what we need. We need more of that. So thank you very much for having me. And anytime I can talk about pancreatic cancer and how we can raise money for it, just call on me, because I'm a disciple and a very vocal one.
Governor Tommy Thompson, our guest has to leave, but Dr. Sam Lubner is staying with us, and he'll be back with us right after this look at the news. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being with us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mehler here. You know, we lost Alex Trebek to pancreas cancer just recently. Earlier this year, we lost Ruth Bader Ginsburg and John Lewis. They lost their lives to the disease as well. And we're talking about the disease now with Dr. Sam Lubner, an oncologist and a faculty member in the Division of Hematology, Medical Oncology, and Palliative Care. Great to have him with us to answer your questions, and I hope you'll join in. What questions do you have about pancreas cancer? Love to hear from you. Maybe an experience to share. I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Dr. Lubner, one of my friends had just gone in and felt great and went in for a quick medical exam for some insurance purposes and found out he had pancreas cancer, 4th stage, and didn't have any symptoms at all. Are there symptoms that show up? I mean, they certainly came to the fore later, not much later.
Yeah. So I think a couple of things. Pancreas cancer is going to affect more than 1,000 Wisconsinites this year, and 950 of them are estimated to die this year. The symptoms that are often associated with pancreatic cancer are caused by a tumor in the head of the pancreas causing some obstruction of the bile ducts, the ducts emptying out from the liver into the intestines. So people can notice painless jaundice, so their skin or their eyes turn yellow. But otherwise, there are not many other symptoms. Sometimes sort of a vague upset stomach, fatigue. Who isn't fatigued right now? Or some mild sort of stomach upset. So the symptoms are really vague, and many times by the time patients are diagnosed, they do have incurable disease.
Wow. Well, we'll give our listeners a chance to join in. The number to call, by the way, is 1-800-642-1234. Or if you would rather, you could email us. And the email address is ideas@wpr.org. Let's take a call. Don in Lake Mills, we'll give you a chance to join in. Don, thank you for calling.
Yeah, Larry, it was John, but that's okay. I wanted some thoughts from the doctor. 2 years ago, I was admitted to a hospital with pancreatitis. I went through numerous tests, blood tests, and numerous scans of my abdominal area, and ultimately the pancreatitis diagnosis was formed. But in the process of all those scans, I was found to have a spot on the pancreas. And, you know, I don't think it was by accident necessarily, but it was concerning. And as a patient, I wondered, oh, boy, and now I've got besides pancreas. And
oh.
Concerned about this spot in my pancreas. Now, my PCP said the spot was not big enough at this point to do a biopsy. I remember the number 5, and then he said I think it had to be as big as 30 before we had to do a biopsy. But the question is, if you find a spot, which could be by accident here on the pancreas, is there cause to be concerned? I did have an MRI this fall, and the spot did not grow. So that's good news, I think, and my doctor just said we'll sit on it for another year. So
okay.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, wondering.
You know, in this circumstance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what's ahead.
Sure thing. So, you know, we all have funny lumps and bumps in us and on us. We actually, I'm glad you brought this up because it gives me a chance to plug our pancreas cyst clinic, our pancreas mass clinic here at UW Hospital, where when folks have incidental findings like you're describing, a 5-millimeter cyst or some questionable finding on imaging, that they can have a thorough evaluation to make sure that it doesn't progress to something nastier, like a what's called an IPMN or a pancreatic cancer, those being two separate things. It does sound like, John, for you, you are getting good care. If you had a follow-up MRI and the lesion hasn't changed in a couple of years, but I do think further imaging will be potentially beneficial just to make sure that whatever that is continues to behave itself. So I'm glad to hear that you are plugged in and that your PCP is doing all of the right stuff. So
yeah.
I think imaging surveillance will be really important to make sure that that doesn't progress to something more sinister.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling. Dave in Osseo, it's your turn. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, I just want to let you know I had pancreatic cancer in 01, and they did a Whipple. And then about 2 years later, I came in my esophagus, and they got that out, the little bumps, and that was it. I hadn't had it since, and I was working all the time up until I had cold sweat, wringing wet sweat in the summertime once. I thought nothing of it. And then I had other problems, and along the way, little, the doctor got on it, and they said there's a little something there. And they knew it wasn't good. They couldn't see it real good. So they did the Whipple. They said it was necessary. And sure enough, it was cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they grow them tough up in Osseo. I'll tell you what, that's a great story. And to have had the Whipple surgery. So for your listeners, what a Whipple surgery is a surgical removal of the head of the pancreas, the first foot or so of the small intestine, the bile ducts, and gallbladder. And then that's kind of the easy part. The hard part is sewing everything back together, where you sew a loop of intestine to the stomach, and that same loop of intestine provides drainage to the pancreas and bile ducts. It takes about 10 to 12 hours to successfully complete the surgery and about a week in the hospital kind of to learn how to eat again. So what Dave went through was a big operation designed to cure him of the cancer. And I'm really glad to hear that this many years down the road, he's cancer-free, because that is a really remarkable case. Thank you for sharing your story with us, Dave.
Yeah, thank you, Dave, very much for calling. Is that kind of so that there's a success? When can we, you know, I'm wondering about it. So that's one treatment that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
What other treatments exist out there right now?
Sure thing. So for early stage disease, really what we try to do is get people to that big operation. The hard part is even when we put people through that big operation, rates of recurrence are between 80 and 90%. So folks who go through that big operation that I described many times will still recur. And then what happens is we have to give chemotherapy to try to prolong people's survival. But chemotherapy alone is never curative in localized or metastatic disease. We do have some success stories where people have lived a long time with pancreatic cancer, but many times when it recurs, people's survival is improved only by months with the addition of chemotherapy and not years.
Hmm. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a person who lived a long time after the initial discovery,
I'm
not mistaken.
Right. I don't know the details of her case, and but I can say I know she had surgery for pancreatic cancer years ago, and then once her recurrence was detected, her case was followed a typical course with her life significantly shortened by the disease, even though it was helped a little bit by chemo.
Scott in Spring Green, your turn. Hi, Scott.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. You know, we hear how symptoms don't set in until maybe stage four, and so many people discovering that they have stage four pancreatic cancer. It's so late in development that it's so terminal. So what about early screening? I just had a colonoscopy every 10 years. Can we do effective screening and maybe discover it well before stage four?
Unfortunately, no. We've tried large-scale screening interventions that have not improved. What we would call that would be stage migration, where we move folks from finding it in a later stage to finding it in an earlier and more intervenable stage. But I would point to two things. The first is even when we find it at an early stage, the treatments for it are really significant. Even then, if we do a Whipple and chemotherapy, the recurrence rates are still very high. So I think those are the real challenges to finding an effective screening test. The other part that we have to balance is if you have a positive result, you don't want to do a Whipple, that big surgery for nothing, you know. Find out, oh, rats, that was a benign finding. Sorry, we had to do that big surgery. So really what we're trying to do is find those patients for whom that operation would be the most successful.
Yeah, there we go, Scott. Thank you. Parker in Madison, your turn. Hi, Parker.
Hi, Larry. I'm with Sam Lubner's kids, actually, and they have a question for their dad.
Hi, guys.
Benny, will you guys say hi?
Hi, Dad. How do you prevent pancreas cancer?
Well, thanks for asking, Ben, and thank you, Parker. I promise I didn't put them up to calling, but I'm glad they're faithful WPR listeners. So the prevention of pancreas cancer, you know, we don't have great prevention tools. I would say we know some risk factors, including alcohol consumption, smoking, obesity, diabetes, those are the kinds of things that portend an increased risk of developing pancreas cancer down the line. So we tell you to eat your vegetables and fruits for a reason, Benny, and keep doing that and stay active, get lots of exercise. I think that's the best way to prevent cancer.
Thank you for that call. Appreciate it very much. You can join in too, 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. I think we're doing a little better job in extending the lives, or am I mistaken on that?
Well, it's a great question, Larry. we are doing better. We have more effective treatments now than we did certainly 5 years ago. And part of what's happening is we're having a better understanding of the biology of the disease. So we have clinical trials going on all the time to find better treatments. Right now, as it stands, untreated metastatic pancreatic cancer or stage four disease has a survival that is around 4 to 6 months with no treatment. The problem is with treatment, we can improve that maybe out to about a year with the most effective chemo that we have. So what we're trying to do now is, like we have in breast cancer and colon cancer and leukemias, try to find very specific targets that are individualized to the individual patient's tumor, where we can then tailor our treatments to that individual patient. And if we can find those targets, we can find treatments that are both more effective and better tolerated.
Hmm. Yeah, that's great. Bert in Racine, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Bert.
Hello. I have a pancreas. I have a cyst on my side branch of the pancreas. Mm-hmm. I am on a watch list, and so they tell me once a year if I should come back or when they do a surgery. And the name of the pancreas, the cyst is IPMN. That means mm-hmm. it can't turn cancerous. Last year, I did my own experiment with diet, and I was able to reduce the growth of the cyst to only 1 millimeter for the year. My question is, what recommendations would you have that I should eat or not eat to make the pancreas happy?
Mm-hmm. Sure thing. A great question. I'll tell you what, if... we don't have specific dietary recommendations to slow the growth of a pancreatic cyst. We do know that avoidance of things like alcohol and other irritants that really bother the pancreas can, lead to things like pancreatitis, like one of our other callers had. So I would say the part of the reason why it's so important to have follow-up imaging for things like a side branch IPMN are precisely because we don't have dietary or other interventions to decrease the size of those cysts. So I would strongly encourage you to keep a healthy diet, try to minimize alcohol consumption, and get your imaging at the times that it's ordered.
Yeah, there you go, Bert. Thank you so much. Ben in Madison, your turn. Hi, Ben.
Hi, I have two questions. One is, there are some detecting blood markers where the blood will indicate that maybe there is pancreatic cancer by the levels of that markers. They can sometimes detect it. Whether is there such a blood marker for pancreas is my question one. And my question two is, sometimes things can metastasize from elsewhere to blood, to lungs and brain, etc. Like that from another cancer, can it metastasize into the pancreas?
Mm-hmm. Great questions, both. So the blood marker that is elevated in pancreas cancer is a test called CA19-9, and that's a protein that is overexpressed, and we can find it in the circulation. The hard part about CA19-9, it is neither sensitive nor specific enough to find cancer in an early stage. And what I mean by that is there are some patients who have widespread tumors and their CA19-9s never elevate. And then we have CA19-9s that are elevated for other things, and it is impossible to distinguish that. So unfortunately, that tumor marker is something that we use to follow patients once we know they have cancer, but as a screening test, it is unfortunately not effective. When it comes to other cancers that can spread to the pancreas, you're absolutely right. There are other cancers that can spread to the pancreas, most commonly things like breast cancer and kidney cancer. It is why a needle biopsy or a pathological assessment of the cells that are in the cancer is so important. That's why every pancreas mass and treatment for pancreas cancer begins with a biopsy, so we know precisely what we're treating.
Hmm. Ben, thank you very much. Good questions. David in New Richmond, your turn. Hi, David.
Hi. Say, you see a lot of ads on TV for EPI, the exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, and I was hoping you could maybe talk about that and if that would lead to further complications with the pancreas.
Sure. So often where I see exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, so the pancreas has two major functions. An endocrine function, which is it secretes hormones, things like insulin and glucagon and other things that our bodies need to sort of regulate blood levels of blood sugar and things like that. And then there's the exocrine function, which is it directly secretes enzymes right into the intestines that allow us to digest our food. So when folks have exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, sometimes we can supplement the pancreatic function with oral supplementation of pancreatic enzymes. You know, sometimes pancreatic insufficiency is a symptom of other things. Certainly in folks who have had a Whipple procedure, it is very common to need to supplement with pancreatic enzymes after that operation. But in folks who just have exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, often we have to look for a cause, and sometimes that can even be due to pancreatic cancer. Other times it's just due to the pancreas not making enough of those enzymes.
Hmm. Interesting. David, thank you. Justin in Black Creek, your turn. Hi, Justin.
Hi there. I just wanted to kind of reference a previous caller in regards to diet, and I was wondering if you could elaborate on the correlation between chronic consumption of carbohydrates and then in turn chronic hyperinsulinemia kind of wearing out the pancreas by constantly creating all this insulin.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it is an active area of research to see if chronic carbohydrate consumption and hyperinsulinemia is a cause of pancreatic cancer. What I would say is a high carbohydrate diet or high sugar diet or things that can lead to things like diabetes are known to be risk factors for pancreatic cancer. The specifics of dietary modification we're just really beginning to understand how diet relates. And certainly we work very closely with our colleagues in nutrition to make sure that we have our patients meet with nutritionists to know what's the best diet for them to go forward.
Yeah. And sometimes diet doesn't make a difference. I was thinking of Susan Nitsky, who was a nutritionist.
That's right.
And certainly was followed a great diet and nevertheless had pancreas and had to pass away from it.
That's right. There's a lot of bad luck that plays in. Yep.
Yeah. Well, we've got this virtual pancreas cancer awareness gathering event. It's on Thursday, November 19th from 4 to 6 p.m. People are going to learn a lot at that event. Maybe in the last 30 seconds you can tell us.
Sure thing. Well, I'll tell you what, the Pancreas Cancer Awareness Night, sponsored by the Carbone Cancer Center and the Pancreas Cancer Task Force, is a great event to certainly learn more. And if you're a patient or you have a loved one who's affected by pancreas cancer, I would really encourage you to participate. We have great researchers. One of our new faculty members, Patrick Varley, is going to be the MC of the event. We've got Zach Morris and Natalia Uboha and Jeremy Kratz, all of whom are doing research and clinical trials to try to improve the care of patients with pancreatic cancer. So it's a great event. I would encourage people to participate.
And it's on our website. Go to the Larry Mueller Show, and you can find the Zoom connection there. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Dr. Sam Lubner is an oncologist with the Division of Hematology and Medical Oncology and Palliative Care at the University of Wisconsin, our guest. Well, it's been a great 90 minutes for me. I hope it was for you. Thank you for listening. Please stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.